I'm working during the day full-time, going to school at night full-time. So during the day, I got a job as a junior accountant. Now, fast forward that. So 4 years of night school, full-time, I'm getting ready to graduate. At that time, most of the firms, especially the larger ones, would not hire you if you had experience.
All right. All right already. Let's get rolling, shall we? Welcome back. Future Proof. That's the name of this thing. My name is Bill Sheridan. So nice to meet you. Glad you're here. Glad to be here. I'm going to get this out of the way right up front. This week's show is sponsored, as always, by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, community, all that stuff to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Don't forget that .org part. Very important. Speaking of the Business Learning Institute, the fine folks at the BLI, they play a role in this week's podcast. How so, Bill? You might be asking. Well, settle down, all right? And I'll tell you, I'm getting there. One step at a time, please. We have a very special episode of the podcast this week. You fellow children of the 80s might appreciate this. You know how in the 80s there'd occasionally be these very special episodes of various television shows, right? You know, tonight on a very special episode of Blossom, or a very special episode of Facts of Life, or a very special episode of, I don't know, the A-Team, or whatever the case may be. But all of these very special episodes, right? They always dealt with something really deep, right? Really serious, some kind of issue like that, you know, drugs or drinking or teenage pregnancy or divorce or something like that. Well, today's show, we don't get that deep, but it's a very special episode nonetheless, especially for those of you who know or have worked with my guest this week. He is Tom Hood, now the former president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. That's right, I said former. Like Elvis, Tom has left the building. Thank you very much. As of February 1st, Tom is the new Executive Vice President of Business Growth and Engagement for the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. That's the global arm, so to speak, of the AICPA, the American Institute of CPAs. And he's not going by himself. He's taking the entire Business Learning Institute with him. And here's how the AICPA puts it. They're going to, quote, help organizations worldwide upskill and reskill their employees so they can continue to meet ever-changing market demands. Together, the association and the BLI will accelerate the introduction of new innovative content for accounting and finance professionals globally. In essence, they're going to, you know, take the work that they started in Maryland, that is helping accounting and finance pros and their organizations become future ready by teaching them the skills they need to thrive going forward. And they're going to do that. They're going to expand on that on a global scale. So yeah, Tom and the BLI, they've been joined at the hip for the past two decades, right? Tom was named the MACPA's president and CEO in early 1997. And he immediately thereafter volunteered to help lead what was known as the CPA Vision Project. This was a nationwide grassroots effort to map the future of the profession and the skills that CPAs were going to need to thrive going forward. And the final vision project that was published in 2011, I think it was, that project identified five future-ready skills that CPAs needed to focus on. And these were, number one, communications and leadership. Number two, strategic and critical thinking. Number three, a focus on customers, clients, and markets. Number four, interpretation of converging information. And number five, technology-related competencies. So, you know, Tom took a look at that list of skills and he asked himself, you know, if these are the skills that CPAs will need to thrive in the future, shouldn't we be teaching them those skills? So his solution to that question was the Business Learning Institute, which was a training affiliate of the MACPAs, whose mission was to provide that kind of higher level future ready learning to accounting and finance professionals and CPAs in Maryland and across the country. The BLI was formed in 1999, incorporated on January 7th, 2002, and it's been doing that thing ever since, right? And now it's going to be doing its thing on a global stage. And so is Tom. Yeah, now listen, yes, the rest of us here at the MACPA, we're going to miss Tom and the BLI tremendously, right? How could we not? But we're going to be fine, okay? Tom has spent the past 24 years building and training a leadership team in Maryland that's ready to take the next step. And now we're getting that chance. And we're really just super excited to get down to business and do that. And we've got a great new leader in Jackie Brown. She's been with the MACPA for the past 40 years and is just, you know, one of the best leaders and people that I know. So yeah, we're going to be good, folks. But there's no denying it, right? Tom leaves some big shoes to fill. But he also leaves us with 24 years worth of experience and wisdom and lessons learned. And all of it is going to help the profession, not just in Maryland, right? But everywhere, help the profession grow and become more future ready. So, you know, before he completely closes the door on his time at the MACPA, I wanted to capture a bit of that Tom Hood wisdom so that we can learn from it, right, going forward. So I sat down with him for the last time, as it turns out, as my boss, and we talked about, where the profession was 24 years ago and how far it's come in the past quarter century, and maybe most importantly, where it's going from here. So really great stuff this week, and a really great send-off to a really, really great guy as he starts the next chapter of his life story. Here is my conversation with Tom Hood. Tom, first of all, congratulations. So the Business Learning Institute, give me the story of how and why it came to be, if you could.
So it was literally my first day on the job as the new executive of the Maryland Association of CPAs. We were at the national AICPA, CPA, SEA meeting, SEA being the state executives from all over the country, all the other state societies. And Barry Melanson, the CEO of the AICPA, announced the CPA Vision Project was kicking off and wanted to know if there were volunteers who would help do that. So as a new state society executive, I'd come from highway construction as a CFO, been a member my whole career. And it seemed like, wow, what a great example to hear, facilitate what members are thinking about the future as part of this big national project. And so I'm like, sign me up. Jeannie Patton, my colleague at that time from the state of Utah, was on loan to the AICPA, actually. And she's like, okay, you're going to be on here with six other of your state execs and six volunteer members. And when that vision project ran, we actually held, I think, 15 forums in Maryland, all over the state. This is pre or early internet, so you didn't have Zoom or any other technology. So they were in-person meetings, Eastern Shore to Western Maryland and everything in between. And members were asked to imagine the future, right? And it was a futurist. There was a bunch of trends. And then we literally crowdsourced a future. Fast forward, the project is now in its final completion stage. We had a delegate from Maryland that went to the national convention. All 50 states and the jurisdictions co-created this future. And in that future, there were five skills that the profession identified for the future, none of which were technical, by the way. They weren't audit or tax or any of those. That was considered table stakes. Like, we knew that CPAs would always have to get those competencies. Right. So they imagined new skills like collaboration. I think there was some technology, strategic thinking, and anticipating future needs. So those were... And so when we came back to our board of directors, So this is now like a year later after all this process had happened and we had the report. Our board of directors, we basically said, well, if this is what the profession and our members are saying we need for the future, shouldn't we provide it? And the rest is history, as they would say, Bill. We started to offer that kind of training in Maryland. We had members take it. Many were saying it was life-changing CPE and training. And yet they weren't adopting it much. So we felt like we were going to go broke trying to change the profession. So we went back to our board and said, look, we're getting these great, amazing feedback, but only four or five members at a time. These instructors obviously can't, you know, survive on that kind of volume. What should we do? And the board said, well, let's get a marketing brand specialist in here and find out what we should do. And we hired one. He came back to us after surveying the results and talking to members, et cetera. And he said, you don't have market permission to offer this kind of training. Like the market, your members aren't looking to you for this. So they suggested a new brand. This was the marketing guide. And so it was either Enterprise Learning Institute or the Business Learning Institute. Now, keep in mind, this is, you know, late 90s. So Enterprise Learning Institute had the acronym of ELI.
ELI.
and that started to give people an earworm of Eli's coming from Three Dog Night. So, so we quickly pivoted to Business Learning Institute. And we started that brand and began to offer those kinds of training under that brand inside the MACPA. That's really what we've done for the last 20 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you've got, an opportunity to take that to the next level here, right? To offer that type of learning on almost a I don't know if you'd call it an exponential scale, but certainly offering it to a much wider audience than we've been able to do in Maryland, correct?
Correct. I mean, I think, so as I think about this, right, from both my position moving to the AICPA and what we're doing with the Business Learning Institute, it seems only fitting. I mean, throughout my career, I've had lots of job offers, if you will, from other places, other state CPA societies, much larger than ours, other groups like the Center for Audit Quality. You know, my heart is in Maryland. It will always be in Maryland. So I didn't even want to entertain those options. But this one is a chance to scale what we started in Maryland, Business Learning Institute, on a global scale. And for me to kind of wrap up my career, I mean, we've already been on a succession planning journey. Our board had put that in place about 4 years ago. So we've been working internally with our team, like you and Rebecca Brown. And we've got an amazing team in place that's going to continue Maryland into the future. And so this seemed like the right opportunity and a way to, as I would say, kind of put a capstone on my career in the CPA profession.
That's awesome. Tell me again, how long have you been with the MACPA?
So this will be my 24th year.
24? Wow, 24 years. I think your background is kind of interesting and one that I think a lot of folks who know you might not be familiar with. Well, like, so tell me again, where you came from, your progression to the MACPA. How did that?
The quick story is, my dad, city policeman, and my mom was a data entry operator. I didn't even know I'd go to college. I ended up funding my own night school so I could get a college degree after graduating high school, and I wanted, like many, wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps. So I wanted to be in law enforcement. But with a college degree, that meant ideally I wanted to be an FBI agent. Now, looking at all the controversy around the FBI today, I don't know that would have been the greatest career path. But anyhow, I went and, you know, interviewed with the FBI, found out what the career would look like. The easiest path to FBI agent back then was accounting. It was either accounting or law or some very heavy specialty somewhere. Mm-hmm. And law degree was two more years beyond the undergrad. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this accounting thing out, not knowing much about it. Got into accounting at night school. And suddenly I found out about a year in that the FBI requirement was 20/20 uncorrected vision. And I needed contact lenses. So I'm like, wow, that's the end of that career choice. So then I'm like, well, I've learned this accounting thing. I guess I'll go figure out this career. And so got a job in, you know, I'm working during the day full-time, going to school at night full-time. So during the day, I got a job as a junior accountant. Now, fast forward that. So 4 years of night school full-time, I'm getting ready to graduate. At that time, most of the firms, especially the larger ones, would not hire you if you had experience. They didn't, you know, now they want a lot of experience. Then they wanted to mold you in their image. So I couldn't get a job in any of the public accounting firms. By that time, I had 4 years in industry, right? Working for a finance company. Then I went to architecture, passed my CPA exam, and then I got an opportunity to become a CFO of a highway construction company. So that job was about 12 or 13 years after graduating from college, getting my CPA, et cetera. And that's what led me ultimately to the MACPA, because we got acquired by a big global competitor and I didn't really want to go there. So I started to look for a job, and my friend, I was involved in the MACPA from day one, from the minute I passed my CPA. So I'd been an active volunteer. I'd been on the board of directors. I'd been the past chair in 1994. So when I'm getting ready to like look for a new job, the executive director said, I'm getting ready to retire, Barbara Zorn. You might want to throw your name in that. And I'm like, well, you know, I know a lot about, I'd gotten exposed to lobbying and legislation in the highway construction business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that would be interesting. If running an association is like running a business, I already have that kind of experience. And I know a little bit about legislation and a lot about the profession because I'd been active for those, you know, 12 years.
And you had a mentor or a boss, correct me if I'm wrong, like early on, who not only encouraged you, but required you maybe to get involved with the association. Tell me a little bit about that.
I wish those days would come back. So this is, it was 1982. I passed the CPA exam and was in the process of getting married to my lovely wife, Sharon, who I'm still married to. And I'll never forget, you know, when I went to work there and said, you know, he said, first of all, you have to get your CPA. That was the first thing, which is exactly. And I'm in an architecture firm in Baltimore. And he's like, you know, you need your CPA. He was the assistant controller, also was, but his name was Don McConnell. I think he's still a member. And so he said, you know, you got to get your CPA. I did that. He gave me the time to study and get off. And then when I passed it, he brought me in and said, you know, get your checkbook out. We're going to write a check to the MACPA and the AICPA. And then I'm going to take you to your first meeting.
Wow.
And sure enough, he took me to his first, you know, roundtable meeting. And I guess it would have been probably in Marriott Hunt Valley is where we had a lot of meetings back then. So he introduced me to it, right? Next thing I know, I'm on the, you'll love this name. It was the Electronic Data and Word Processing Committee. The modern day equivalent would be the Technology Committee. But back then, word processors were where you got both Word and Excel or VisiCalc back then. That was the closest as a CPA you got to Word to computer stuff in those days. Yeah, fun.
That's great. So I guess... this might take up the rest or most of the rest of our conversation here, but I'm curious about two things, like two big buckets here. So let's start with the MACPA, first of all. How has the MACPA changed since you came aboard? Your reflections on us as an association, where as you like to say, where were we, where are we, and where we're going? You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I know what you're saying. So interesting enough, I mean, clearly... The time of my tenure was the beginning of the internet. So one of the things that was going on at that point in time, Bill, which we're actually going through again, was the advent of the WWW, right? The World Wide Web. And there was, I'll never forget it, there was an article in Red Herring magazine that was featured at an association conference that said, associations... ... roadkill on the information highway. So there was a big thing that we were going to be completely disintermediated and disrupted by the internet. And so that was, you know, so we were one of the first associations. I'll never forget, thanks to one of my Loyola professors, Barry Rice.
Yep.
And he was on our board of directors at the time, I think, and on the tech committee. And Barry said, you guys got to get your domain on this www thing. So we went out and found that MACPA was still available. We took macpa.org and we began our journey to, you know, the internet and to begin to think about what does it mean to, at that point, it was all brochureware, but we knew that we were trying to track on that. So we spent a lot of that time in that probably first 10 years of my career getting a handle on this internet and what does it mean? This idea of email marketing, right? All of those kind of things was a big transition for us. And then, you know, that continued to evolve. So clearly digital transformation was both beginning of my career and continuing all the way through now, just different levels, right? You've been involved since our last 5 years when we really did the cloud transformation and we were early in. And thank God, because coming through the pandemic, had we not been on the cloud, it would have been a really, really rough go for us. So right. I would say that was probably the biggest thing. Interestingly enough, through that time, Bill, I would say there's a lot of things that haven't changed about us. And, you know, 1901, we were founded and we were the first three states to have a license. And interestingly enough, the members that founded us, we say in the midst of the second industrial revolution, they had an idea that in order to understand this emerging industrialization and cost accounting and all the complexities that went with, you know, big giant corporations forming, trade, all those things that were happening, setting standards, creating a profession from scratch required what? The biggest thing it required is collaboration. Mm-hmm. And so what they did then and what we continue to do now, albeit in different ways, is to convene the profession and to imagine and think about what we need to do to stay relevant and to keep our members at the highest performing standards.
It's so written that name, right? We associate
with associated to make change. Right. That's exactly right, Bill. And So interesting enough, I would just say I inherited that DNA and mindset. Mm-hmm. And we continue to make sure that that stays front and center about what we do. Like, I'll never forget early in my career, we had this visit by the Russian CPAs. One of our members was involved in this international transition group. And I forget there's a federal act that allows that has us like helping to upskill nations that we might have been enemies with. So there was this thing to help the Russian accounting profession evolve as they were beginning to break down their barriers, right? The Berlin Wall fell down and they began this period of kind of enlightenment where they were trying to create a bit of a capital-based economy. Mm-hmm. So they brought this whole group over and we had them in our boardroom. I'll never forget. We had members who were from Russia that were coming in. They were like crying because they hadn't seen anyone from their mother country in years.
Oh my God.
And the kind of really funny thing was sitting around that table. I'll never forget this moment. One of the Russian interpreters were telling them the story of MACPA. And one of the Russian interpreters says, you know, we have a question. And it was a guy, I'll never forget him, KGB, former KGB guy named Sergey. He goes, so what did you say your name is again? I said, the Maryland Association of CPAs. So what's that second name? Association? He's like, yeah. And he goes, we don't have a word for that in Russian. I mean, that tells you a lot, Bill, because uh-huh. The whole idea of associations, he put it this way. He said, you're telling me that a group of competitors gets together and shares ideas. Well, I've never thought of it in those terms, but yeah, that's kind of right. That is what happens. But right, that was a completely foreign concept to them. And I do think that's part of what makes our American way of working, our democracy work. And it's quoted all the way back in, you know, Democracy in America by Alex de Tocqueville, that, like, the whole formation of associations, the Article One of the Bill of Rights, the right to assemble and to, you know, redress things about government is who we are. And that's what we do. So that's the other part, is collaboration, convening, associating. And then the other part is representing before government.
Right.
Is the other huge thing. And then over this 20 years, right, we had Sarbanes-Oxley, which was super intense, right? Then we had the Dodd-Frank Act. We've had some other major pieces that kind of shocked the system, but now we're in the middle of the pandemic. Every one of those big, giant things and tons of little things we have to deal with every year in our legislature, at Maryland, with Congress, and with our State Board of Public. So that idea of, that's how, you know, you were there when we created this idea of, we connect, protect, and help CPAs achieve success. And I would argue that all I did was try to push that agenda forward throughout that career.
Well, I would argue that that's not all you did, but you did, you did it very well. Okay, onto the profession now. I mean, the last 20 years have been, I mean, we're talking, you know, 9/11 and Enron and WorldCom and the 2008 recession and the pandemic now. And I mean, we've been through some huge changes socially, economically over the last 20 some odd years. I'm curious, what does this profession look like today, I guess, that is completely surprising to the 1997 version of Tom Hood? You know what I'm saying?
So I would say we have, and I say this all the time, right? When I was a CFO, the one thing that I wished is that I could get a handle on the numbers quicker and sooner. Mm-hmm. So I could do what I was actually taught to do, which was to make sense of the numbers, interpret mm-hmm. them. The language of accounting is a language of business. And most people that are running businesses don't understand that language. Mm. So our job as what I call a value-added interpreter has actually come to fruition, I believe, now more than ever. And I think that gives me great hope, because our society needs it more than ever. So here's what I think is change. It's in the midst of this change now, is we're going from just counting the numbers in the business, in the box, the general ledger box, mm-hmm. to now helping businesses be more relevant in our economy and to our communities. So now you're starting to see things like integrated reporting, environmental, sustainability, diversity, human capital. All these new metrics are going to be what matters so much in continuing our progress as a society. And that, for me, is where it's exciting. We're not there yet, Bill. We're not there, but we are on the brink, and we have tools and technology that are beyond imagination that will be able to help propel us, accelerate us into that role. And that is going to be whether you're in a really small business or a big giant public company, or you're in government or nonprofits. All of our members in all those areas are going to be able to literally add value and account for things and hold people accountable that we never could before.
It's really, as you were saying that, it just kind of struck me that, you know, I mean, over the last 20 years, we've seen these huge changes that have changed our profession in the same way. So we're kind of like at an intersection where technology has caught up to allow us to do this stuff. Societal changes, all these things have kind of dovetailed into this point where we're no longer, you know, business historians, but we're you know, sitting in the driver's seat in a certain point of view and helping drive, you know, helping determine the future of organizations going forward, as opposed to just, you know, reporting on what happened in the past. And I think that's kind of what's exciting to me, at least, as you know, as far as what's happened over the last 20 years, is that you know, all of these things have come together to allow us to get to that point. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. We're now moving from a rearview mirror, which we were forced into because of the time it took to get the numbers right, right? The systems and all that took us, you know, it literally took weeks to close your books, to now looking out the windshield, because we can not only get our current measures, but we can get other external measures and they can be interacting together to help us do what you're saying, which is right. So I think you're right. We've moved into, I love the side-by-side. We're now the co-pilots or the navigators to the future. And I think that's exciting because we're now looking out and saying what's coming and what could we be doing to help move us to that way. And everything's catching up with that, right? The way society's thinking, government, all those pieces are starting to come to play, and we're ready. And I think we have tools that will help us do that.
I mean, this is something that I ask a lot of folks who join me on this podcast, but I'm particularly excited to hear what you have to say about it. What does the future of this profession look like to you?
So I think it's basically what we just described, right? It's a very bright future. We are going to have to continuously learn to keep up with it. But the answer is we're going to be that navigator of change and transformation to help businesses power for our communities, for our society, for the whole world, in fact, because of all those things we do. Again, from that small business on Main Street to that public company, to government, all those roles that we play, that's what we'll be able to do with foresight, looking at things coming and helping to get that, again, prosperity for all.
What's your fondest memory the last 23, 24 years, Tom?
I know you read this book too. I think it's called Moments. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I could point to one big memory. I think I could point to 100 or hundreds of moments where there were just these really bright spots, whether it was working with young professionals or students or with our leadership or past chairs. There's just a whole kaleidoscope of memories like that that I will always cherish and are part of who I am today.
That's great. I mean, I guess last question, you've spent so much time over the years with our members, speaking to our members, working, you know, on behalf of our members. Any last words of advice for them? How do you want to close this out?
So I think it's sitting in our office on a wall. Hopefully it'll still stay there even after I'm gone, but it's basically the L greater than C squared. If there's one piece of advice for all of us, and I think many of them are dramatically, it's that in order to thrive in this fast-changing future, the winners will be those who learn faster than the rate of change and faster than the competition. So L greater than C squared. Keep doing that. Keep your integrity, and we will be thriving in the future.
That's awesome. Tom, this is normally the point where I thank my guest for being here, but I've come to realize that I don't really know how to thank you. You know, you've taught me everything I know about this profession. You've been a mentor and the best boss I've ever had and a friend, and I'm going to miss you, man. I'm going to miss you. Best of luck, and congratulations. And, you know, when this vaccine comes out, let's get together and break some bread, shall we?
So. You got that for sure, Bill. Thank you. That's very humbling. And and I'm still in Maryland. I'm still a member. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be in the Royal Order of the Tundra with all the other past chairs now. So
we will hold you to that, believe me. So. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your insights. Appreciate your time. Best of luck to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
Wow. Didn't mean to get that emotional, but you know what the hell? You get to say thanks to a guy like that only every so often, and this was my turn. So thanks, Tom. That was Tom Hood, formerly the president hate saying that, right? Formerly the president and CEO of the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute, now the new executive vice president of business growth and engagement for the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Going to be a lot of interesting stuff going on at the association and the BLI going forward. You're going to want to follow it all, and you can do that at a couple of places. First of all, at AICPA-CIMA.com. That's AICPA-CIMA.com. Also over at BLIonline.org. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's dash it, gang. Have a great week. Talk to you again soon.